Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And it's Friday, October 7th, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Happy Friday to you.
That's not that
and
happy,
to
Melody.
Everyone.
Not bad as Fridays go, but I don't see this necessarily cause for celebration. I mean, it's okay. It's an okay Friday. Nothing exceptional.
We all worked hard here at Discount Gold and Silver Trading this week. With prices down, people did take advantage of the lower gold and silver pricing, as you should. But just because it does drop doesn't mean that that's the only time you should buy. I mean, even as we're moving up, don't let the price scare you in staying out of the metals. You know, things go up and down, and it's always good to pick the lower level, of course. But we still see much higher numbers for gold and silver. We're going to talk about gold and silver briefly today. And Goldman Sachs analyst, you know, he thinks that, you know, hey, these prices down at this level at $12.50 is great. And that's a Goldman Sachs guy. So gold today, basically unchanged at $1,256. We had a high, $1,266, 10 bucks higher, and a little bit lower at $1,241 on the day, but we're happy to say $1,256. Silver saw the same kind of a day, $17.57, up 0.18. Platinum was up a buck, $9.68. Platinum up a buck. And those two just amaze me, $672. And the paper mark, the dollars today. Let's go to the USDX today. A little weaker, 0.17. 96.54. Crude oil was down 70, back down below 50 at 49.74. Paper markets today, they were actually down triple digits earlier in the day. They did come back. But still down 28 points, 18,240. The NASDAQ was down 14 at 52.92. The S&P was down 7, 21.53. 10-year yield, 1.74%. Euro, 112. That was up 0.40. European markets, no change really whatsoever overnight, just fractions. And, you know, we have had gold falling for eight sessions, It's really the worst losing streak in a year, but a great buying opportunity in a year. But Goldman Sachs said the further downside was likely limited because of demand. And they're looking at stronger demand for the precious metal will keep, will still give some support. So they're looking at the 1250 as being the bottom. So I said yesterday, yes, we're looking for a bottom to see where gold is going to hold. So they're viewing 1250. I thought it should be around 1260, 1255. So we're all right in there at that same level. So good signs to hear an elite bank analyst come out and say that we pretty much have seen the bottom. The bank also believes Chinese investment demand for gold may pick up after the current sell-off, particularly from medium to long-term asset allocators. And, of course, the potential drivers of increased Chinese physical buying includes purchasing gold as a way to hedge for potential currency depreciation in the face of capital controls, and, of course, diversifying away from the property market in China. So it's interesting that they acknowledge the Chinese people that they buy gold as a way to hedge for potential currency depreciation and to diversify their portfolios, but they don't like you to have it. No, they want you in paper. We'll give you a little bit. We'll give you 5 or 10%. Ah, but the rest you want in paper. And I say, folks, be evenly diversified in your portfolio if you have to have paper. Something else, Al, today, the payroll report in September was 156. Followed 167,000 rise in August. So it wasn't what they had estimated or what they had thought. The numbers were much higher, so this report that came out today was actually weaker than the forecast of economists. So therefore we got that little bit of a dip. The jobless rate rose to 5% as the labor participation rate ticked up to a 6-month high. And, it's interesting to read through some of these reports. It says companies face a limited pool of available and qualified workers. So to me, if we can't supply, if our colleges and our high schools, can't provide, qualified workers, shouldn't that be questioned? Why don't we have available and qualified workers?
I think it's a certain amount of crapola. There may be some point to it, but there's 94
million
Americans who are not in the labor force, and what they're reporting here, they're implying, is there's nobody in that 94 million that they can't find anybody who is competent to do the jobs they need done. I know, if you're looking for rocket scientists and brain surgeons and the rest of that, I understand that the job, there aren't that many of them around, but still, you would think out of 94 million Americans who are not in the labor force, you would think that you got to find somebody that you could employ. And if you can't, how about somebody you can train?
I mean,
that's going to be one of the implications here. If this is a true story, if it's true that employers can't find the kind of help they're looking for, then it's also true that there's going to be some sort of an effort to educate people. People are going to say, okay, what do I have to do to get employed? What do I need to learn? And there's going to be some sort of a return to some sort of educational institutions over the internet, conducted by the employer himself. But somebody's got to train these people.
Well, I also think it's a little kinder and softer to say and to blame the worker that they're not qualified, they're not capable of working in these positions. It's much more acceptable than saying, hey, we don't want to pay for their health care. We don't want to pay them a living wage. We don't want to do this and that. So, we'll just, price them out of the, market. So, that's probably the real reason behind
it. Yeah,
I
say when they're not qualified, we can't find other people or enough people who are qualified. What they mean, what qualification are they talking about, Matt? Ability, mathematics, English, what? Multilingual? No.
Yeah.
They, in order to be properly qualified, you have to know how to make it in this life on $5 or less per hour.
Yep.
Now you're qualified. If you can live on $5 an hour, you're qualified for any job in the country.
Well, and in this report, I also look for some good news, Al. Even though some people lost their jobs, and having people lose their income is never nice, but government payrolls fell by 11,000.
Well, that's something. That is due cause to, for celebration.
But due to a slump in education jobs at the local level, that may reflect difficulties adjusting for the start of the school year. So teachers, I would have to assume, is part of that 11,000. I think you were talking about teachers just earlier in this week about their pensions and so forth.
Oh, I was. And I was saying that one of the great ironies in all of this is that the teachers, among others, I was particularly talking about in Chicago, teachers, the government pensions, the city, Chicago city pensions they're in big trouble. And mm-hmm. probably they will not all survive. And the teachers and police and fire department, teachers are not alone in this, but teachers are one of them, and they want to keep their pensions. And what I'm saying is, they say, promise is a promise. You know, you people promised. Well, technically, the bill for their pensions is going to be left to children, right? Or people at least who were children when the promises were made. They didn't make any promises. Right? It's the older folks that you might be able to accuse of making the promises of the teachers' pensions. But the teachers also, they say, oh, you got to keep your promise to pay my pension. But at the same time, what about the teachers keeping their promise to educate the children? They weren't entrusted with the education of the children in Chicago, and they implicitly promised, we're going to give these kids a good education. And did they do it, or did they simply act as guards in a detention camp until the kids could graduate at the end of high school, and maybe, if they were lucky, be able to read at a 7th or 8th grade level? They didn't keep their promise to educate the children. And now, what is really interesting about it, it's the very children that they failed to educate. They're now the generation that's going to get stuck with paying their former teachers' pensions. Not? And how are they going to pay the pensions if they're so poorly educated that they can't get a decent job and make
they're
enough money
qualified
to support themselves and support the teachers' pensions? And what I'm saying, we're looking at an example of karma, of what goes around comes around, justice in the world where you didn't educate these children, and now you have to depend on them to make enough money to make your pensions good.
Yep.
They're not going to be able to do it. And there's there's a great irony there. That's just, oh, my gosh.
But this is, as we mentioned earlier in the program, that, there's not enough qualified people, so they say. But let me just finish up this report. Payrolls at factories fell by 13%. Payrolls at factories fell by 13% after a 16,000 drop last month. You did have construction jobs. They rose by 23,000. Retailers increased their payrolls. Of course, we're going into the holiday season, Christmas and Thanksgiving, so they increased their payrolls by 22,000. Employment, leisure, and hospitality rose by 15,000. That's the smallest in 4 months, which makes sense because the summer is over and the little kiddies are back in school. Wages showed less of a pickup than projected. Hourly earnings rose by 0.2%, blah, blah, blah. Americans who are working part-time, though, would rather have a full-time position, or the measure known as part-time for economic reasons. That fell a little bit to 5.89 million. And the rate, still 9.7% for the underemployment rate, which includes the part-time workers who prefer a full-time position and people who want to work but have given up. So to me, that's the important number. And, of course, we know that number can certainly, depending on how you view it and what you add and when you calculate it, is much higher than that 10%. So.
When we talk about people that are underemployed, and not just underemployed, but they've reached a point where they've given up looking for work,
mm-hmm.
part of the reason is because we have an entitlement program that seeks to take care of the unemployed. And I'm not against that. I get that. But it's part and parcel of an entitlement system that has been growing by leaps and bounds for at least 40 years and maybe more than that. Got a couple articles
yeah, but
here.
Why is it growing now? Because,
well, because
jobs
the government
are
has promised to vote for me.
No, the jobs are leaving. There's no place for them to go. These multinational corporate, they don't want to pay health insurance. Those keep rising. Inflation.
The wages are the same.
Oh,
big part.
But my point is
there is an entitlement mentality in the world. You've got Washington.
Holding hands with the corporations. They're just working together. Jobs go overseas.
Why are they working with the corporations? Because the corporations bribe the congressmen and the senators. They give them bunches of money. All right? That's why. It's because Congress and the Senate are for sale to the highest bidders.
I get that. So that's my point. It's just not because the government continues to dish out money to the people. They've created a situation along with the multinational corporations and Wall Street. You know, they're all in it together. So, and before you get on to your next week, this is something I wanted, you know, we talked about, the elite in Washington for this weekend, starting today, yep. I believe till Sunday. Their biggest concerns are populist politicians playing up the anti-globalization sentiments. And it's like amazing when you hear what some of these leaders have to say about
our election.
What do you mean?
When you say the leaders, you're talking about the elitists or you're talking about the populists?
I'm talking about the elite.
Yeah.
The World Bank President Jim Yong Kim, and even Christine Lagarde earlier this week, the director of the IMF. You know, they're concerned about their little globalization.
Oh yeah, they're
that it's ready
concerns.
To collapse, that it's going to affect economies. Lagarde said that the world economy growing at a subpar. No kidding. Except here in the United States, of course, everything is just peachy keen here. 3.1% this year in advanced economies, far slower than that. Well, gee, what's an advanced? Who's the advanced economy? Now is the time to start. She says now is not the time to be erecting trade barriers. Well, no, you know what? I think that is the time to start erecting trade barriers.
Way past time. Because they have forced wet labor in the West to compete head on with cheap labor in the East. And they say we don't need any trade barriers. Yeah, we do. We need a job barrier. We need something to protect whatever jobs we have in this country. How are we going to buy homes? How are we going to buy cars? How are we going to buy anything if most of the population is unemployed or forced to compete at wages that are comparable, not equal, but comparable to what they're making in China or other places in the third world? Our wage scale has to be supported, and the only way it can probably be done is by means of tariffs that keep foreign competition out.
Yeah, China's finance minister, Liu Jiwu, speaking at the G20.
Liu Jiwu.
He expressed worries. He's expressed repeatedly by economic and finance leaders at the IMF about the deep anti-globalization populism. I mean, it's like, yeah, well, you know what? Don't tell us what to do. The World Bank President, Jim Yong Kim, he goes on and says he urges world governments to banish the storm clouds of isolationism and protectionism, saying that open borders had lifted 1 billion people out of poverty in over a quarter of a century. Well, you know what? Go back to where you come from and help those people that are living in poverty in your countries. Look at China. Do they help the people outside of the big cities? No, they don't help them at all.
And they haven't helped the West. Right, the ordinary people in the West have been diminished by global free trade. The multinational corporations and their owners and their chief executives, they've done well. But the vast majority of the American people have done badly because jobs have disappeared. None.
And you
they
know
can't
what?
Compete with people making, you know, $6, $8, $10 an hour.
And they talk like this has lifted these people out of poverty. And you know what? You know, it was the people that have crossed into our country through the borders and so forth. Yeah. You know, they do work. They're able to send money back and so forth. But for them to come out and tell us that politicians like Trump are no good for globalization. It's going to hurt populations. It's going to hurt economies, and it's going to help the progress to billions of people throughout the world. It's like, we're going to break out. You better go before I say something I shouldn't.
You go ahead and make it, and we'll save it up, Melody, and Melody's going to say something she shouldn't when we return in just a couple of moments on Financial Survival. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom. Please stay tuned, and we'll see what Melody shouldn't say in just a couple of moments.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Many, many people have experienced the benefits of drinking all-natural Life Change tea. The unique blend of 8 herbs helps detoxify your body so you can live a healthier life. Numerous testimonies have been given about the benefits of drinking Life Change tea. So, are you drinking Life Change tea? Interested? Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Many are so impressed with our product, they order a year's supply. And why not? When they do, they receive 2 months free. That's a $70 savings. The body is meant to heal itself. Sometimes a body just needs a little help. Get the tea at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. This is not an ordinary green tea, and it's not available in stores. This tea helps with digestive problems, acid reflux, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and as talk show host Jerry Doyle says, it'll make you as regular as a baby bird. Enjoy your life. Get Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, and now we're going to find out whether Melody really has something that she shouldn't say, mm-hmm. or if she's going to be politically correct and tell us things that are
now,
moderate.
No, I leave that up to you to be not
politically incorrect.
Incorrect, yes. I leave that. I have to remain calm. And, but it's
well,
just, and I let go during the break. So I'm over it now, but it is just truly amazing. And I said to you during the break, there's a debate on Sunday. If Trump talked about this, I don't know if he will, or this probably won't even be brought up. It should be. It's just amazing what they're talking about. This guy, this Kim, of the World Bank, he says, our research shows that inequality is still far too high. Both globally and within countries, constrained. Listen to this, constraining growth and breeding instability. What does that mean, breeding instability? We need to focus on growth and continue to reduce inequality, and we have to make growth more equitable and more sustainable.
Well, you made the point that we're hearing a bunch of quotes from foreign leaders
about how much
we need global free trade, and we haven't heard anything from American politicians. Why aren't they in the news taking their stand on global free trade, for or against? And my guess is because most of them are for it, and they understand that if they talk about it, they're probably not win the election. So we're not really hearing about this too much from our own politicians. They're going to wait till after the election, and then they will give us the benefit of their profound wisdom. But
folks,
the truth is, they're for sale to the highest bidder.
Folks, right. You're just collateral damage. That's all you are. It's collateral damage. They only care about their wealth, their power, and to complete the agenda of the New World Order. Whatever happens to you, they don't care about you. So you better care about yourself. And it's just...
What's infuriating about this is most of the trouble we have right now, it's not as if a hurricane was hitting Florida. All right? Hurricanes hit Florida, they hit Texas, they hit different parts of the world. I get that. All right? When we have a hurricane, we have to deal with the problem. We're not dealing with a natural problem. We're not dealing with a problem that couldn't be foreseen. We are dealing with a government that betrays us on a regular basis. And they have some grand scheme where they're going to support global government and a new world order. And there is no proviso for it whatsoever in the Constitution of the United States. They are acting, they are committing treason. Every damn politician up there who says, oh, we're going to combine Canada and Mexico and the United States into the North American Union, that's treason. There is no proviso for doing that under the Constitution of the United States. You want to go into the New World Order? Want to go into global government? There is no proviso for it under the Constitution of the United States. And if we are going into this New World Order and global government, we are going to see the destruction of the United States and or of the United States of America. All right? The United States of America Union, the perpetual union created by the Articles of Confederation, 1781, year of our Lord. Constitution of the United States, what? 7 years later, ratified by the people. Two different documents, two different entities, but this nation is going to be destroyed by your politicians. It's not happening because of natural events. It's not happening because we have a drought. It's not happening because we have no oil or we don't have any industry or whatever. It's happening because we have politicians that are for sale to the highest bidder, and that does not include you and me. The only people able to buy these politicians are people with real money, and that generally means they are corporations, corporate executives, super wealthy, the elite, and they pay the government to pass more laws to allow them to take more money from ordinary people in this country. Here, pass a law that legalizes me taking more money from the people in the country.
What do politicians do when they leave office? They become a lobbyist.
Yeah, a lot of them
do. They write a book, become a lobbyist, or go to work to one of these multinational corporations that they got bought from. And I knew you could take it up for me, Al. I knew you'd.
But I didn't say anything I shouldn't say.
Well, you did say one little word.
One little word. Hey, if we're going to hold everybody accountable who said one little word, how many politicians would we have? Maybe it'd be a good idea. Maybe you should do that, and we'd be done with some of them.
Listen, I get lots of comments from our listeners and from our clients here at Discount Gold and Silver, and many of them I just don't get a chance to talk about on the program. I should be more, because each and every one of you are so important to keep this program going, to keep other programs going, to keep Discount Gold and Silver going, and to keep you from living under their thumb eventually. I mean, it is you when you buy gold and silver, you are your own banker. And that is very important. No one can control you if you have gold and silver. So I got this email in from this gentleman. It was very nice. He has three comments, and he enjoys the show as often as his morning coffee every day. That's pretty important, because I know how important my coffee is every day. He says he found financial survival when he discovered shortwave back in 2011. He says he downloads the MISS programs. He listens at work. The date and creator, the beautiful music that opens the program, is unknown. Can you recall, Al, who does that? The Fanfare for the Common Man is the name of the...
Fanfare for the Common Man.
But I can't recall which one we used.
I can't remember. It was actually two segments of the song that was put together.
There's several versions, versions.
Yeah. Fanfare for the Common Man
is...
If you were to research, you know, Google it, you'll come up. I can almost think of it, but I can't. It's, I don't know.
Well, His number three statement, the frequent, and this is another reason why I brought this up on the program, the frequent caller from West Virginia, what happened? Well, Jim from West Virginia, he passed on. And so we miss him. We miss his calls, and we miss talking to him. So that's what happened there. He says he believes the return of Jesus is near. He says your program and the news you give us reflects what the Bible tells us. He says, thank you. And I say, well, thank you, Steve.
Yep. Thank you. Well, what else, Willie?
What's next on the agenda?
There's just a little small thing. This is from Yahoo News. It's Matt Drudge criticized.
Oh, yeah.
After suggesting government is lying, oh my gosh, tell me it's not true, government is lying about Hurricane Matthew. Influential blogger Matt Drudge faced fierce backlash on Thursday after downplaying the threat of Hurricane Matthew. The now Category 3 storm reportedly killed more than 500 people and destroyed tens of thousands of homes in Haiti and has prompted mass evacuations in the U.S. Drudge, however, expressed doubts about the severity of the storm. The founder of the widely read Drudge Report website took to Twitter to suggest that the government was hyping the threat of the hurricane to make an exaggerated point about climate change. All right? What this is about, Matt Drudge did a tweet. You understand? He did a little tweet on his Twitter account, and somebody got hold of it and said, oh my gosh, Matt Drudge suggesting the government is lying. Well, anyone who thinks the government is not lying only needs to look back at the John F. Kennedy assassination, the bombing in Oklahoma City, the Branch Davidians in Waco, and what happened at 9/11. Plus, tell me what the real unemployment numbers are. Tell me what the real inflation rate is. The government lies on a regular basis. And if the government doesn't want to be accused of lying, the government should stop lying. And we should also stop celebrating politicians like Rahm Emanuel and Hillary Clinton, who have both said that a crisis is a terrible thing to waste. If you get a crisis, exploit it. That's what they're talking about. We've got a hurricane. Let's exploit it. Let's not deal with the problem. Let's take advantage of it, and perhaps we can get some traction for climate change arguments. So is Drudge right? Is he wrong? I have no idea. I don't know the truth of the matter, but how can you be upset about anyone who says the government is lying? Of course it's lying.
The only thing that I have a problem with this, and we talked about this prior to the program, is, well, you didn't see any of those comments or his one little tweet on his website. And he certainly hyped the threat himself on his website, the Drudge Report, because that's what brings readers to his website. So then to make another comment on his little tweet, even to say that the government was hyping, you know what? If you believe that, then tell the truth on your website. Also, don't believe one thing and do something else just so you can make an easy buck and get readers to your website. So,
yeah, but I don't think Drudge, I don't know, but I don't think Drudge is writing articles on his website. What he's doing is just posting links to other people's articles on a particular topic. And if most people agree, most other sources agree that this is a serious problem.
There's plenty of other articles out there that did have the different view of that. But, still, this storm, you couldn't take it. You had to take it seriously. How could you?
Oh, I know you have to take it seriously. He's not saying there's no hurricane. He's just saying there were, according to some sources, wind speeds of 125 miles an hour, and it appears that he thinks maybe the top they're having, at least hitting the United States, is in the neighborhood of 70 miles an hour. We're going to find out. We are going to find out before this is done. There will be some sort of reports where we'll get accurate information, probably, on how fast the wind was blowing. And then we'll find out, was Drudge correct or was the government correct? Did Drudge make
I think sometimes people comment on things when they don't really read enough or study enough.
Melody, if we couldn't comment on things unless we'd really studied enough,
I learned something, Al. Let me finish. I learned something that those high winds are really around the eye of the storm. And as you go out, the winds are much calmer. So wherever that eye actually takes landfall, yes, you would have had winds up to those high levels. I mean, even if you looked at the pressure, it was down at, you know, 936 or something like that. And that's really low. You would have high winds. So again, but that eye did not make landfall. It actually went up. Well, it might have now. I haven't listened to the news today as far as the storm was concerned. So it really does depend on where that goes. Jennifer Chapman, Bob Chapman's daughter, I was talking to her because I was concerned about her and her family. We communicate regularly, and she says, yeah, they slept, but they're 70 miles west of the coast, and she says, yeah, they slept through the night, didn't waken, but they did put up their hurricane shutters, and they did prepare, and of course, being Bob Chapman's daughter, well, you know, they're pretty prepared anyway, but for the thing, so yeah, sometimes, you know, I don't know.
This is much ado about nothing. Nope, somebody did a tweet.
So why'd you bring it up?
That's like, well, that's my point. You know, it's what my point is. We get into this stuff. Who cares what somebody did a tweet? How many tweets go out a day, Melody? Hundreds of millions, I would bet.
So who reported on his tweet? But let's,
I don't know.
On.
Some.
I'm tired.
Some.
Of about
that's not a whistleblower. It's a tweety blower, apparently. I don't know. The whole thing is just. It was. My point is,
and
someone is accusing the government of lying, and someone else is saying, "Oh, he's crazy." I'm just saying, look, if government is speaking, there's a good chance. They don't lie all the time. I know that. But there's a good chance that they will lie. They have a culture of lying. 9/11, you know, Oklahoma City, Waco, the rest of that. Lies, 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 lies.
You know what? It's funny, though, Al, because if they hadn't reported on this storm and it had turned into something far more severe, then you would have had the other side, well, we weren't warned and so forth. So I have no problems with these, you know, how I do believe people need to do what's suitable for them, make those decisions, and be prepared. You do have to take these warnings seriously. And because you just never know. And,
but we are dealing with. But nice. Are we dealing with the little boy who cried wolf? In the interest of protecting people, does the government hype these warnings? Oh my God! The wind is blowing 5,000 miles per hour. Well, it's not really blowing 5,000 miles an hour. Actually, it's only blowing 50. But in order to scare the people into doing something, let's cry wolf. How about the government just tells the truth as best it can? Right.
Well,
and people are left to deal with the truth and govern themselves accordingly. If you don't think it's a big problem, don't leave. Think it is a big problem, back up.
They need to have the information.
I get that. I get that. True information. True information. True information.
You have to look at these cities in Florida. I mean, they've been disrupted for days, so they needed some information to support their bad employment numbers and so forth next month. You know, they had the Olympics. So now they have Hurricane Matthew. Let's move on to something else.
All right, here's Alan Greenspan. And he said this before, but he was recently interviewed. And in the course of the interview, he gave us a little more information on why he thinks the U.S. must come to grips with entitlement reform. And I've got two articles here, and we'll start on the first one here and try to get to the second one after the next break. Former Federal Reserve Chair Alan Greenspan said the U.S. Central Bank and their global colleagues have done as much as they can with easy money monetary policies and keeping interest rates at record lows. The only viable option now, especially for America, is entitlement reform. Now, the reason this is interesting, starts out interesting to me, is that what the central banks have been saying for a good year now is that they've done all they can with monetary policy. They can't do any more by printing more money or lowering the interest rates. And now the alternative system, the alternative policy for dealing with the economy is fiscal policy, which is under the control of the government, which involves taxes and government spending. All right. If there's what the central banks are saying is we've done everything we can, now it's up to the government. Got to do something about adjusting taxes and or adjusting spending if they want to stimulate the economy. Well, here's Greenspan. He's essentially saying the same thing, but he's saying entitlement reform, and he's saying that as a euphemism, in a sense, for fiscal policy. Okay? And he may be correct. He's trying to make a point here that the most important part of fiscal policy should be entitlement reform. And that's the point he'll get to before he gets done with this interview. It says what we have to do, but nobody wants to do is touch, but nobody wants to touch, is a rise in entitlements in the United States. Until we come to grip with that, we're going to get a continuous downward pressure in capital investment and then productivity. He's telling us that entitlements are killing the economy. This is Alan Greenspan. I'm not going to say I necessarily agree with that analysis, but certainly this is something worth considering, and we'll talk about it more when we return in a moment to financial survival. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
I'm Alfred Addis, and this is Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, and I'm here with co-host Melody Cedarstrom, and we were talking about Alan Greenspan in a recent interview where he's complaining about, he's saying, look, if you want to get this economy up and running again, it's up to government, and it's up to government to adjust fiscal policy rather than up to the Federal Reserve and central banks of the world to adjust monetary policy, which is interest rates and supply of money. So they've done everything they can with interest rates, done everything they can with supply of money. Now it's up to the government to step in and do something with fiscal policy. He is complaining that the essence of fiscal policy has to be a change in entitlements, right? He wants entitlement reform. That's the essence of the fiscal policy reform that Alan Greenspan is advocating. But entitlement reform won't be easy because it's not just a matter of reducing the payments made for under-entitlement programs. People on welfare, for example, will scream if their monthly welfare payments are cut by $100. But the entitlement problem is not simply a problem of how much currency is paid. The fundamental problem is one of a mentality, an entitlement mentality. We have people who think, look, I'm entitled to money I haven't earned because of my race, my gender, my age, all right? My background, whether I'm an immigrant or not. We all have this idea that what I'm saying is this entitlement idea is something that government has been selling for a couple of generations in this country. And we are now also hooked on it that something like 50% of the population is getting a check from the government. Right? And every one of them thinks they're entitled to that check. And the entitlement problem, what I'm saying, is not simply a matter of, well, we're going to have to cut your check by 50%. No, that's not the problem. The problem is the mentality and the people who will scream if somebody deprives them of their free lunch. They really think they're entitled to a free lunch, and I'm saying, no, they aren't. And one way or another, they're going to learn that lesson. All right? Now, we could learn it now. We could sit down and say, well, look, you didn't really earn that pension fund, that pension that you're talking about, did you? Yes, the government promised it, but how do they plan to get it? By taking money from people that actually work for a living and giving it to pension recipients that the government promised. Oh, you can live large because the government promised you a fat pension that you did not earn. Right? And we're going to take money from people who do earn it and give it to people who didn't. And somehow we're going to hold this country together. We can either look at this and become a moral people and sit back and say, you know, you're right. I'm not entitled to that money there because I didn't earn it. We could do that. That's a nice theory, but you know as well as I do, it ain't ever going to happen. So Greenspan's policy of entitlement reform, it may be necessary.
Yeah, well, he helped create it, too.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But it's almost impossible to implement without huge political and economic trauma. Nobody's going to learn this lesson that you must actually support yourself. You must be responsible for providing for your own retirement. You must be responsible for providing for your own standard of living. And if you're not able to do that, all right, then the first thing you got to do is look at yourself. You are not entitled to a nickel that you haven't earned yourself. None of us are. And if you're taking nickels or dollars or $1,000 or whatever that you haven't personally earned, then you are either on charity or extremely lucky in the sense that you might have won the lottery, or you're a thief and you don't mind robbing people who actually work for a living so you can live large. But no matter how you figure it, we're coming to a time when the people that are going to survive are going to be the ones who are able to support themselves. When Alan Greenspan says, look, the entitlement program has to be addressed, and he has more that we'll try to get to before we get done with this program. But when he's saying that, listen, this is Alan Greenspan. This guy is not just some quack. He understands what he's talking about.
He understands what he's done.
He understands what he's done. We all understand what we've done, but we also understand who we can blame for what we've done, Melody.
Yeah.
Well, I might be partly, but he's the one over there. That's the one that really did it. You know? The point remains, we're coming to a moment when the government cannot afford to continue to provide entitlements and subsidies and whatever else it's been handing out. The free lunches can't continue. The government's going broke. Sooner or later, we're going to see a point when the government is going to be forced to address the entitlement problem. And it may be that we'll only be forced to address it in the context of an economic calamity, much like the collapse of the former Soviet Union. People, they used to joke in the Soviet Union, they pretend to pay us, we pretend to work. Nothing got done, but they all had an entitlement mentality. The economy and the Soviet Union collapsed. And it took them about a decade to get their heads screwed on straight and really realize that, you know, if I want to eat, it's up to me to work enough to buy some food. I'm not entitled. Just because I show up, it doesn't entitle me. I actually have to do something productive. Took Russia, the Russia remained what was left over after the Soviet Union collapsed. It took them a decade to get their heads screwed on straight. Russia has come back to become a fairly strong country. It's in part because I think they have at least diminished their former reliance on their entitlement mentality. Now, some of the quotes from, let me see if I can go through these right now. Greenspan, he says stagnation is coming. Stagflation is coming. And he says the term comes out of the 1970s. Up until then, all Keynesian models, economic models said it was impossible to have high unemployment and high inflation, but we got it in the 1970s. They scrambled for an explanation. They scrambled for a term, and stagflation was born. He's concerned we are in or approaching a period of stagflation, meaning high inflation, low employment. All right? He thinks that's coming, and it's the worst of all possible worlds. Deflation, a depression, is not as bad as stagflation. Depression, prices fall. Yeah, there's not as much work. People are unemployed. I get that. But if you got a job, you can buy more with what little you have. Prices fall. We have deflation during a time of depression, and that makes it easier for, a hamburger that costs $5 when times were good is selling for $1.25 when times are bad. It's bad times, but still, you don't need as much money to get by. You can get by on less. But in stagflation, we have less jobs and at the same time rising prices. This is a very bad situation. It's worse than depression. For people, you don't have a job, you're in trouble. The hamburger that you used to be able to buy for $5 is going up to 10 or 15 or 20. The inflation is carrying the price higher. At the same time, you don't have a job. Stagflation is potentially worse than depression. Depends on the degree, of course. But in any case, Greenspan is anticipating that he says we've got stagnation throughout the developed world, and the developed world is aging rapidly, and the ratio of entitlements, okay, as a percent of gross domestic product has been moving up. The result is a crowding out across the board of virtually every developed country in gross domestic savings. We don't have savings. Why? Because we're spending the money on entitlements. And he says we've got to have the gross domestic savings because they lay the foundation for capital investment, and capital investment is the key to output and productivity. He advocates fiscal policy, as we said before. They've got to deal with rise in entitlements. No politician wants to touch it. It's a third rail. Touch it, and you get voted out of office. He says historically the U.S. had a long-term productivity increase of 2.2%. Now, in the last 5 years, it's 0.4%. He said this is unprecedented. Our productivity has fallen to 20%. Productivity increases have fallen from 2.2% to 0.4%. This is unprecedented. This is bad news. It means there's less people making pies. Everybody wants a slice of the pie. Well, we're only making 20% as much pie as we used to. What's it mean? There's not going to be enough slices to go around. He says, in the United States, the rate of increase in entitlements has been 9% a year since 1965, equally between Democrats and Republicans. All right? 9% a year. There's 9% a year more entitlements than there were last year, and there'll be 9% more next year, and we keep on handing out these entitlements. You are entitled because your skin is a particular color, your gender is a particular gender, your age, whatever. You're special. You're entitled just by virtue of being here, and you don't have to work. And that's what entitlements mean. You don't have to work. And it has to be erased from our mentality. If we're going to hang on to that, we are going into big, big trouble. He goes on and he says, I think central bank's monetary policy has done as much as it can. The policy for additional economic stimulation has got to be fiscal, meaning governmental, because the root of the problem is entitlements. And the implication in all this, the government's going broke. All right, Greenspan understands this. The government is technically understands the government is technically insolvent and bankrupt. It can't pay its debts. No way it's going to pay the official national debt or the real national debt. It's not going to be paid in full. Might get some of it, but not much of it. And we're reaching a point where some people think they can't even pay the interest on the debt. Part of the reason we have the interest rates established by the Federal Reserve at such low rates is to allow government to squeak by paying virtually nothing in terms of interest on its bonds. They're getting the bonds, borrowing the money to keep stimulating the economy, and they're getting it for free if they had to pay a real fair interest rate, say 5%. If they had to pay that, the government would probably have to fold up. Right? It's part of the reason why the Fed has been so reluctant to raise interest rates, even a quarter of a percent. The problem is the government is so deeply in debt that it can't pay all of its bills. And if Greenspan's right, the root of the problem is entitlements, then the government is going broke. Technically, it's already insolvent and bankrupt. Inevitably, it will have to cut costs by repudiating some of its promises to pay. This means the time is coming when, because it must come, when government repudiates some of its entitled obligations. And why must they repudiate some of their entitled obligations? A simple answer is what can't be paid won't be paid. They're broke. This means the government, it means people who rely on government for support, welfare, and subsidies are heading for a terrible crisis, wherein they will either learn to support themselves or starve. And that means the socialist system that politicians have supported, nurtured, and expanded for most of my lifetime here in the United States is coming to an end. We're coming to an end on this. All the things, all the free lunches, they are going to be dramatically curtailed. I won't bet that it's going to happen. It may be a decade before this happens, but this is where we are. They can't keep handing out free money. And that means this country, after great tribulation, just might be headed back towards an era of capitalism rather than socialism. I don't expect that result in less than a decade, but it could happen. All right, so if you're catching the drift on this, Greenspan is pointing out, look, we're giving away too much money. We don't have it to give away. I'm not saying it's bad to be Santa Claus. I'm not saying it's bad to give away money, but you can't give it away if you don't have it, and they don't have it. So this is coming to an end. What do you think, Melody?
Well, I think it's time to give a special before the end of the program. At the end of that, we have 20. Now, previously, I've been offering the 1921 Morgan Silver Dollars. We got some pre 1921 Morgan silver dollars that have come in, and they're lovely. So you can get a tube of 20 of those, the pre-1921 Morgan silver dollars, and an AU $5 Liberty gold piece. And the total of that package is $940. There's no extra shipping charges. $940 is included in the price of the 20 Morgan silver dollars pre-1921s. That means you're going to get a lot of pre-1900s silver dollars and an AU $5 Liberty gold piece. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. 1-800-375-4188. And again, folks, make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And of course, you can listen to these programs archived there on a daily and longer time basis. So get there and give us a call. $940 for 20 pre-1921 Morgan silver dollars, circulated VG plus, and an almost uncirculated $5 Liberty gold piece, all included with shipping and insurance, for $940.
Okay, Melody, good job, but we still have a few seconds left, and so I'm just going to give a little good news, or at least my opinion of good news. Newsmax says more states passing laws allowing firearms without permits. All right? Endorsing the idea that self-defense is a natural born right, more states are passing a law which allows citizens to carry concealed guns and firearms without a permit. Missouri became the fourth state to pass legislation in 2016. Now it's in addition to West Virginia, Mississippi, and Idaho. All right, they passed similar legislation in 2016, and the number of states total now is 12, where you don't need a permit to back a concealed weapon. I think that's good news. We're out of time. We're out for the day and for the weekend. I want to thank you all for listening. Melody and I will be back on Monday, Columbus Day, and
markets are open.
Markets are open.
You got it.
So thanks for listening, and hope you'll tune in then. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me